Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject, and you'd like to submit it to us to be able to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd like to hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, through the centuries, men have grasped for religious power by claiming human authority in the kingdom of God. And one such claim compels people to confess their sins to a priest in order to be forgiven. This is called auricular confession because it's made secretly into the ears of a priest. The Council of Trent, in defining the practice, declared the priest to be a judge, a statement that is repeated in numerous catechisms and instruction books for Roman Catholics. Auricular confession is an evolved practice that began with Christians confessing their sins, not to some religious official, but to one another. Listen to what we have in James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But the background for doing this is found in Jesus' instructions about a brother that sinned against another. If the matter is unsettled, it could escalate to the attention of the congregation. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18 and begin our reading at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And so we see then that by implication, it necessitates a confession, either on the part of the individuals that are involved or when the matter is brought before the church, if the matter is to be resolved. That is scriptural. But as time went on, people left the faith. And to be fearful of being considered as a heathen or a publican, they would publicly acknowledge their sins upon returning. But now, human authority arises. By 411 A.D., Leo the Great introduced the idea of penitents voluntarily confessing their sins to some church official. And then it was in 1215, the Fourth Lateran Council required every Roman Catholic to confess to a priest at least once a year. And the present practice was solidified by the Council of Trent in 1546. By that time, one had come a long way, not only in time, but in concept. That is, from confessing to a brother one has sinned against, and to sometimes public confession to the requirement of a ceremonial secret confession to a priest in order to be forgiven of sin by the priest. To justify this confessional, there is a twisting of Jesus' words that he as he first appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. In John 20, and verse 23, Jesus said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." See, this is not the occasion when Jesus' remarks were directed to the 11, the apostles, like in Mark 16 and verse 14. When this was said here in John 20, there's nothing indicating the exclusive presence of the apostles. And really, there's no more than 10 present because we see Thomas is not even here. So the background here is provided when Jesus told Peter and then other disciples that they should bind on earth what is bound in heaven and loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. That we read in Matthew 16, verse 19, and again in Matthew 18 and verse 18. The bind, what is bound, and the loose, what is loosed, are indicating that what is to be bound and loosed shall have already been bound and loosed in heaven. So see, they're not being given authority to make laws. But in declaring what God has bound and loosed, they were making use of the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that knowledge that opened heaven through being able to have the forgiveness of sin. Now, compare that, well, let's say contrast what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do and what the scribes had done. He told the scribes in Luke 11 and verse 52, "For you take away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered." You see, their perverted instructions were keeping people out of the kingdom. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, and in many of those verses in that chapter, "You have heard, but I say." See, if knowledge is the key to the kingdom, those who received that knowledge that was given to the disciples could have their sins forgiven. Those rejecting that knowledge would have their sins retained. So see, the disciples were being entrusted with the gospel. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 when he said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God that tries our hearts." The message that they preached would decide whose sins were forgiven and whose sins were retained. They were not being appointed judgmental, authoritative priests, but they were appointed preachers of the gospel, and they were to preach that gospel unto all. Their mission was to declare and not to be an intermediary, a go-between. The word, not a priest, would be that which would judge. Notice in John chapter 12 what Jesus said in verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." So as far as the actual forgiveness is concerned, the Pharisees were right. Only God can forgive sin. So when Jesus pronounced a person's sins forgiven, something the crowd couldn't see, then he healed the man, something that they could see. And that proved he had authority to forgive and that he was the Son of God. And we see that example in Luke chapter 5. Notice beginning in verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason you in your hearts? What is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sin." He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up what whereon he had laid, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So in all of this, rather than a priest to forgive us, we find a statement in John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So really, here's the crux of the matter. The Roman system assumed that only apostles were present when Jesus said, whose sins you forgive. It assumes that the result of this was to be able to have the power to forgive rather than the power to tell to what to do in order to have sins forgiven. It assumes this power was to supply or to deny grace personally, as one turns on or turns off a spigot, we might say. And they say it resides in priests who are supposedly successors to the apostles, whom they assume are the ones that are being addressed in that passage. Friends, that's far too much assumption with contradictory information. Just to be able to build this system of confession. But there is here another basic error, and it's found in a lot of religious groups, and that is that God has his clergy, which must stand between him and the rest of his people. So this laity must go through the clergy in order to get to God. Friends, in the kingdom, we have no such masters. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 9, that we are all brethren. And everyone that's saved by the blood of Christ is a priest, according to Revelations 1, verses 5 and 6. And that's what the church is, the saved, in Ephesians 5, verse 23. So God's priesthood is those that are saved. That's 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 teaches. Each Christian, as a priest, has direct access to heaven with no human mediator required. And friends, for that, I thank God. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.